A death penalty case in Pennsylvania is drawing attention because the man on death row is asking for a stay of execution on the grounds that prosecutors withheld evidence of sexual abuse at the hands of one of the men he killed. Terrence Williams killed two men in 1984. He was tried separately for each crime. In the first trial, claims of sex abuse were introduced. In the second, they weren't. And a few months ago, an accomplice to the second murder, the one that was awarded a death penalty, came forward to claim that prosecutors told him to withhold evidence of the abuse. Five jurors have now come forward to say that had they known of the claims of sexual abuse, instead of the death penalty, they would have asked for life without parole. On Monday, the State Board of Pardons turned down Terry Williams' bid for clemency, and now it goes to a court. Tomorrow, a judge in Philadelphia will take up the question of whether to stay his execution on October 3rd. Joe Slobogin is courts and crime reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer. And Joe, we're thinking that the trial of Terry Williams must really be resonating there in Pennsylvania because of recent headlines. You had the church sex abuse scandal and trial, and of course the Penn State scandal.
You're correct, Robin. And certainly Terry Williams' attorneys in the Board of Pardons hearing on Monday made that point, that what we've learned in Pennsylvania from the Penn State case and the church cases is that quite often, victims of childhood sexual abuse don't come forward and don't come to a consciousness of what happened to them until they're an adult. That's what they're arguing about Terry Williams, that it was a evolution in his consciousness about what happened to him and being able to admit it.
Well, let's go over what he did. There were two victims, 50-year-old Hermit Hamilton, with whom the then 17-year-old Terry Williams had a sex-for-money relationship. He stabbed Hamilton to death in January of 1984 and claimed long-time abuse. He was charged ultimately with third-degree murder in that case. But 6 months after that killing, a now 18-year-old Terry Williams and an accomplice beat Amos Norwood to death and robbed him. That's the case in which he's been given the death penalty. What is true about Terry Williams and his lawyer's charges of sex abuse in the Amos Norwood case?
That's a difficult thing to determine. That's at least the prosecutor's claim, that there's no way of knowing what's true. Essentially, what we know is that Mark Draper, his admitted accomplice in the Norwood killing, says he told detectives at the time in 1984 that the murder was motivated by sexual rage over abuse by Norwood for a period of 5 years, starting when Terry Williams was 13 years old. What Mark Draper says is that he was told by detectives and later by the prosecutor, forget about the sex stuff. This was part of a robbery. That's the theory we want to proceed under. Terry Williams has spoken to psychologists in prison, and one of them spoke at the Pardons Board hearing, David Lissack, and said that he was very credible in his stories of sexual abuse, and his demeanor, personality, all fit the typical history of somebody who has been abused as a child.
Well, and haven't others come forward to say that there was abuse at the hands of relatives and other men?
There have been others who have come forward to say that. Terry Williams certainly has said that. And in fact, Mark Draper testified at the earlier trial of Herbert Hamilton for the prosecutor and said that Terry Williams told him that Herbert Hamilton had also molested him, and that was another case of sexual rage. That's part of the reason he wound up being convicted of third-degree murder instead of first, because the jury felt it was essentially a case of self-defense.
And again, that was the first killing in 84 when Terry Williams was 17. The second one, 6 months later, he was 18. And for the second one, he received the death penalty. Now he and his lawyers are asking for a stay of execution. And they've also had some other extraordinary last-minute evidence they're introducing that, in fact, Amos Norwood, again, the second man killed, they claim had raped Terry Williams the day before Terry Williams killed him.
That's correct. And that just came out recently. Mark Draper has given three affidavits to the defense since January of this year, and that came out in one of these three affidavits, that Terry told Mark that one of the things that made him enraged was that Mr. Norwood had raped him the night before, and in a particularly brutal fashion.
Well, so tomorrow there's going to be a hearing. Joe, you've told us the judge is going to ask people involved in this, what's the truth? Prosecutors will be asked, did you tell this accomplice not to testify about sexual abuse, not to bring that into the trial? They'll try to get at the bottom of this. But meanwhile, Terry Williams has hundreds of thousands of supporters on a change.org petition. There's also church leaders. The widow of Amos Norwood says she feels he should not be put to death. But the Philadelphia Daily News is pointing out that he was no angel. He had other charges, a home invasion where he held a gun to an elderly couple's head during a robbery. So what's the feeling there in Pennsylvania?
I think it boils down to a case of, should we have the death penalty on the books in Pennsylvania? One of the reasons I think Terry Williams' case resonates so strongly with the public, both those who support and oppose the death penalty, is that Pennsylvania has not executed anyone in 13 years. In fact, we've only executed three people since Pennsylvania reinstituted the death penalty in 1978, and all three of them volunteered to be killed.
Rather than stay on what they call the death on the installment plan,
the
years and years on in solitary confinement. And you say that one of the reasons there have been so few executions is that while polling shows that people favor the death penalty, I think 60%, when they get in the jury box, they don't seem to.
Yeah, that's what I have found just from watching trials, and that's what a lot of the defense lawyers say, that, you know, the death penalty is very easy to be against or for in the abstract. It's a lot different when suddenly you're in the jury box and it becomes very clear that you have a vote whether this person will live or die. Nowadays, they did not hear this in Terry Williams' case, obviously. There was no mitigating evidence before he was condemned to death by the jury. Nowadays, lawyers for the defense would have experts, psychologists, experts on sex abuse, who would testify about Terry Williams' childhood and make the pitch that this kind of horrific abuse mitigates against him being sentenced to death.
We'll see how this unfolds. Joe Slobogin, courts and crime reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Joe, thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Robin. A pleasure.
So, your thoughts. Will a stay of execution unleash other claims of sex abuse by people on death row? Or, on the other hand, the claims are pretty brutal in this case. Should they have been taken into consideration? Go to hereandnow.org. You can leave a comment or send an email. Tweet at Here and Now and at Here and Now Robin. Go to facebook.com/hereandnowradio. Lots of ways. Any way you do it, we'd love to hear from you. Up next, Thomas Wolfe calls it the all-quiet on the Western Front of America's Arab Wars, the novel The Yellow Birds, in 1 minute, Here and Now.